Blog Talk Radio.
Good day to you.
Thank you so much. And I have the fabulous Atlantean birth and life card reader with me today, Kelly Coulter. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Bonnie. Hey, Ron.
I am so happy to have you guys because I am actually on the road and I wanted to say hello to everybody. And I am going to tell you that Kelly's going to take the show. And she's so capable, and she's so wonderful. I know she's been dying to, or living, quote, to talk to Ron because she loves astrology, too. So she's going to be actually running the show as I'm headed down 95 to Boca. But I do want to tell everybody before we start the show that I have two fabulous guests coming. Tomorrow is Thursday, and Thursday we always have guests. Tomorrow I have two very powerful men coming to this show. Not that us women have anything to sneeze at, but this guy, his name is Glenn Cakely. He is a healer, and he's a fabulous soul. He's written a book. He's come up with a 7-step program on the power to be you, and he is fabulous. He is going to take calls, and he is going to talk about all the wonderful and fabulous things that he is doing for himself, for us, for the earth plane, and it is just going to be really a wonderful hour. He starts at 1 o'clock, and then at 2 o'clock, I have a really, really extremely interesting guest. His name is Jamie Price. He is a medium psychic, and I can't wait for him to come on the show because we have a lot to talk about. Maybe between his spirit and my spirit, we're going to make the world go round. Jamie has been on television. He's been on several shows. He has a psychic mom, so he comes from a psychic path. And we are going to be so excited. He does psychometry. He does. He reads spirit, and he brings through all of your relatives that are not here on the earth plane. And we are so looking forward to him. So, guys, I'm just so excited for all of our shows, for the show tomorrow and for this show today. Everybody that's listening, we have a powerhouse show today. We have Ron. He's reading Amy's chart, and she will be on at 2:25. And I know Kelly's raring to go to ask Ron all of these questions. So now that I haven't taken a breath, hi, everyone.
Hi, Bonnie. That was pretty good. You can talk and drive at the same time. That is awesome.
I can. And I just have to tell you that I'm so excited to listen to the show while I'm going down there. So please get this party started, Kelly. And Ron,
all right.
I love you. I'm so excited to listen because I'm on the other end now, and I just am so excited to hear you guys. So you can mute me, Kelly, if you'd like to, and I'm going to listen.
Are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to pitch in and talk? It's like I know you always have spirit visitors.
I know. Well, you can leave me on, actually. You can leave me on, and
I will.
If I miss my exit, then I'll scream. Okay, go ahead.
There you go. We'll be listening for it. Okay, Vaughn, it's like I believe you were going to talk to us today about Neptune and some of the things Neptune does for it, because you're talking about the planetary placements and how they work.
Well, yesterday, right around the same time, the sun entered the sign of Pisces, and that's Neptune's sign. And we've got Washington's birthday coming up on the 22nd, and he's always been noted among astrologers with his chart for classes and that because of the Pisces placements. And Neptune is the ruler of Pisces. So it's kind of appropriate to address this energy of this planet today. Neptune has a very complex lexicon of descriptions with it. On one level, it can represent fog, nebulousness, comas, being out of touch with reality. On another level, it can represent extreme artistic creativeness. Some of the most incredible sculptors, artists, have Neptune prominent in their chart. But of all things, it is probably most famous for intuitive ability. It is the planet most connected with psychic energy.
And I must have all those planets in Neptune then. What do you think, Ron?
Well, a trans medium or mediums of any sort or channelers of any sort are under the energy guise of Neptune because it represents all forms of trance channeling. It represents all forms of strong intuitive talent, and it represents sensitivity to energies. So, for example, a strong Neptune placement in a person's chart can make them very sensitive when they meet someone for the first time and get an immediate impression whether they like that person or don't like them. They may not know why, but they got that impression. Another example is walking into a restaurant. Now, it could look perfectly beautiful in the evening. Tablecloths, candle-lit tables, everyone sitting in dim lighting, romantic. But you get this sudden impression, I don't want to eat here. I don't feel good about this place. Let's go somewhere else. You have no reason why. You just know you don't want to eat there. And that's kind of what Neptune does. It gives you an intense psychic feeling, and you're responding to the energy of the place. Now, you may not know this. Perhaps there was a big fight in the kitchen that day, and that energy is in the atmosphere, or someone was fired, and that energy is in the atmosphere of that restaurant. But you're picking up on it. And that's what Neptune does. It acts like almost like an antenna for intuitive receptivity to energies. So it is a very complex planet. And if anyone knows Piscean people, they'll see that those individuals have layers of complexities about themselves, including high levels of intuitive talent, high levels of creativity, but a kind of a sense of at times working with the abstract, and that's what Neptune is good with, cartooning, fantasies, acting, anything that involves the abstract. For example, Walt Disney and what he's created has strong Neptunian energies about him for all of the theme parks that he created, an escape from worldly reality when you're there, and the fantasy movies that he's created, the cartoons especially. There's strong Neptunian energies with Walt Disney. And anytime you go to a beach community and you're along the seashore, That's also a Neptunian energy because Neptune was the king of the oceans, the god of
wow.
the seas in mythology. So
I love
there's that rapture of the energy of the ocean. See?
You know what, Kelly? You should have muted me because now I'm going to talk.
Wouldn't be Bonnie Alpert on there if you were here with us. Come on.
Well, you know, I just got to tell you, Ron, I love Neptune. I love Neptune. In fact, I just love Neptune because I can feel the presence of Neptune. To me, it's just the more mysterious for me, the better it is. And so when you bring up Neptune, I get all warm and fuzzy. So I know I've got Neptune somewhere, don't you think?
Well, it's a highly emotional planet. It deals strongly with feelings, not just intuitive feelings, but just downright emotional feelings. It's one of the three most emotional positionings in an astrology chart.
Well, you know what? I was going to ask you if I could trade my Cancer in for Pisces, but I don't think you'll let me. What do you think?
Well, Cancer is ruled by one of the other two emotional energies, the moon, and the third one is Pluto, which is the ruler of Scorpio.
Well, that's true. So I guess I'll keep my Cancer. So please go ahead and tell us more. And I know Kelly has a lot more questions. So, Kelly, if you mute me, I promise I won't talk. But no, don't mute me.
I'm not about to mute you. That would take a lot of fun.
True. That's true. But Ron, is there more that you want to tell us? Because I know Kelly has a few more questions for you. But is anything about Neptune? Neptune rules which planet? Pisces? Does it rule any other
Pisces.
Planet?
It rules the sign of Pisces. And in the human body, it represents or rules the feet, toes, ankle, arch, heel, instep. And it also rules the liver. Now, there's reasons for this. Your feet keep you grounded. The feet keep you grounded to the earth, the carpet, the soil. And if you didn't have that grounding with your feet, you could have your head up in the clouds, literally, and get spacey and get kind of detached from the physical plane. So the feet give you the grounding to the physical world, which Neptune needs. It doesn't always have grounding to the physical world. So the very area of the body that it represents is our connection to grounding, and it rules the liver. And there is a negative side to Neptune, too. I mean, it can represent addictions, especially alcohol and drug addictions, which can, of course, affect the liver, you see. So
there is
a problem with this planet on the negative side because it can be highly living in a dream world or highly orientated towards escapism.
Oh, yeah, but I love Neptune because I've got one of those, you know, you and I are born on the same day. And I know and I love that because I think we both look on the bright side, and I never think of the negative side of anything. It just doesn't occur to me to even think that way. So when you tell me there's a negative side, I know there is because, of course, with darkness comes light, with light comes darkness. But it's just amazing how I just don't think of that, you know, other side. But you're right, Neptune could cause problems. And I guess when you look in people's birth charts, that's something you look for.
Well, you could tell how Neptune's positioned and what kind of angular energy it's making to other planets. If it's in a lot of afflicted energy or hard aspects, as we call it in astrology, then Neptune's more challenging side can more easily appear, and its more uplifting side can be a little harder to achieve.
I see. Okay. Well, is there anything more on Neptune you'd like us to know? Do we have Neptune in February, or is it coming in March?
Right now it's in Pisces, and for the next 2 weeks, especially the next week, the Sun and the planet Neptune will be aligning together right near each other and next to each other in the same sign. So now this is why it's very appropriate to mention Neptune, the sign of Pisces. Its sign has just started yesterday, and it'll go on for just about a month. And then the Sun will conjunct, as we use the term in astrology, or align with Neptune for the next week to 2 weeks. So this is a very powerful time of what we say in astrology, Neptunian energy.
Oh, I love that. What does that, I mean, maybe I didn't hear you because I'm driving, but what does that, how does that relate to us here on this planet? How does, are we more attuned? Is that what we're more in tune to our fantasies?
Well, it will really affect people born now who will have that in their birth chart, but it still affects all of us living through the cycle. Number one, there is much more of an etheric energy now in the vibrationary field. That means we are, as a group, as a human race, much more prone to psychic receptivity, to be emotional, to be thin-skinned, to be emotionally sensitive, to feel and pick up on things. We are also more able to open up our creative side, such as art or music, but we have to be more careful with the effects of pharmaceutical drugs on our systems, also the effects of any kind of alcohol or stimulant or drugs, because Neptune can highly emphasize those types of things right now.
Is Neptune going forward? It's not in reverse?
Let me check. The outer planets all retrograde like the inner planets. The inner planets are Mercury and Venus, and the outer planets are Mars through Pluto, but the big ones are Jupiter through Pluto. And the further you are away from the sun, the longer your retrograde period is. Neptune is moving forward right now, and it will not go retrograde until June the 9th. So it's going to be the early part of June it turns retrograde in Pisces. For example, Pluto, which is further out than Neptune, when it goes retrograde for 5.5 months. And
oh my
so
goodness.
It's almost a 50-50 shot with Pluto. It's either 50% of the time not retrograde, direct as we say, or retrograde. But then the closer you get to the sun, Mercury goes retrograde for 3 weeks, three times a year, and we're in one of those now.
I know, because all of my communications have gone haywire for the last 3 weeks. But I also would like to know, I think Kelly was saying, Kelly, I think you were saying, weren't you, about Jupiter being, I know you're mesmerized. I told you to mute me. Ron, I know she wants to ask about Jupiter, so go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, it's like the stuff that I'm seeing here says that Jupiter actually went into retrograde, I think, back in November, and it doesn't come out, It doesn't start going forward again until, like, March 6th. So I was kind of wondering, it's like, what effects does, because I think Jupiter's supposed to be like the planet of blessings or the expander, you know, or something like that. So what happens to us, you know, when Jupiter is in retrograde? And I know there's a difference between the planets that are closer in versus the, you know, the big outer planets. But it's like, so how does that, you know, kind of affect us? Because we all know what Mercury does to us. it gives us communication messages. But what does Jupiter do when it's in retrograde?
Jupiter retrogrades 4 months out of the year. It was like almost November 7th to like March 6th or 7th. So anyway, this planet is the largest planet in our solar system, and it represents, again, a number of layers of different things. When it is retrograde, it is receiving energy more inwardly than it is outwardly. For example, I'll just give you one example that Jupiter rules. It rules angels, and I literally mean angels, the type we see in churches and images and stained glass windows and statues and paintings. It is connected to religion and spirituality and angelic energy. Well, what happens when Jupiter is retrograde, we are much more akin to feel an angelic presence or an angelic guidance or an angelic word or wording inside of us within our own gut-level energy or inside. When it is direct, we are more likely to see an angelic energy there in the room or sense its presence or feel it outside of us, near us. That's just a very cursory example, but when Jupiter is retrograde, it's spiritual energy. It's energy for movement and travel and sports and action is more of an inward motivated thing and tends to be more private. When it's direct, it is much more the opposite. It is quite outward. For example, for a sports person, especially those that were qualifying for the Olympics and training for it. When Jupiter is retrograde, that is your best time for training and building up your sports qualifications and talent. When it is direct, that's the time you are able to put it into physical, visual use and people can see you, and the training pays off from your outer talents and your outer ability to perform that sportsmanship.
Wow. So the fact that the Winter Olympics is happening right now when Jupiter's retrograde, this is all kind of would be kind of affecting the athletes in that they should really be in a training time rather than a competition time. So they're kind of maybe not doing the best they could do?
Yeah, there's a couple other reasons for that, too. Mercury's retrograde during this whole time of the Olympics, and that can be a little strange, too, for things being suddenly changed or an athlete suddenly having an incident that they have to withdraw or sudden change around. That can be happening with the Mercury retrograde plus with the Jupiter being retrograde now. It does retrograde, like I said, 4 months out of the year, so it is a rather lengthy retrograding planet. I've noticed that when it's in a person's birth chart, it can sometimes delay monetary abundance in their life until they get older. It can delay financial solvency or wealth. It is often connected to great, great amounts of money. And it is the planet of just thinking big, thinking large, expansion. But when it's retrograde, sometimes that thinking big doesn't dawn on to a person until they're in their middle years of their life. Sometimes they have money potential in the chart, but it doesn't come till they're later. The retrograde Jupiter delayed that from manifesting in their chart. So it does have a delaying effect in a human being's chart when it is retrograde at birth.
That is so cool. I love that. I mean, I never knew that. Sitting here, like, thinking to myself, every time you're on, Ron, I just can't tell you.
You learn something new. I mean, it's just, he's just like this fountain of information. I'm going, I love to hear him talk because he's so detailed about what goes on. I'm going, man, I have you know, never learned this much about astrology in my life. It's like, Ron, you're an awesome teacher. This is so cool.
Yeah, he is an awesome teacher, and he does teach, so that's pretty cool. And, Ron, we so appreciate everything. And I know that Amy's waiting for her reading. Is Amy on?
Oh, let's see. I've been looking for. I see a. I don't see her number per se. I see a Skype number. So I think I'm going to check around here just a little bit, and we'll find out if this is Amy. Amy, is this you? Is this Amy?
If you're talking to me, I'm not Amy. Sorry.
Okay.
Ask Amy if she's in chat because Ron, can you go in and tell us some more?
Chat,
I mean,
yeah.
I would tell you that. I know that we were talking about, and unfortunately Kelly wasn't listening at that show because she was with her kids, but she asked me about the progress chart. You remember me asking you that?
The progression. That was something that was really, really interesting to me because it's kind of like how do the progressions work? I mean, how do they, like, affect you? Because I'm not exactly sure what progressions are. It's like, because I know there's a natal chart, you know, what you have when you're born, and then do things change astrologically for you as you go through the years? I mean, is that is it important to do a progress chart? And it's like, and how does that affect, or what does that tell you as you go through life?
Once you reach a certain age, let's say after age 5 and older, the progress chart becomes very important as part of a companion whole astrology reading. When I do a reading, I never do one without the progress chart. Now, here's what it means. Your natal birth chart, the one with your city, date, and time of birth, when you took your first breath, will always be prime chart number 1. That will always be the head one. But as you grow older, you can literally take your natal chart and progress it to any particular year and month of your life. And you can see what it is saying about that particular time frame that you're living through. So let's say a person is 36, you can progress a chart to that 36th year of life, and you could look at the planets, particularly where the moon is in the progress chart, because that's the biggest timer of all, and see what aspects or angle or relationships it's making, and you can get a great degree of timed information. Like, for example, there might be certain configurations to the area that deals with job and career, and you could mention this is the time that you will either change jobs, start a second job, be given an opportunity for a job improvement, such as transfer to another department, a raise in salary, because there is a certain configuration going on affecting your career house in that progress chart. So it affects the natal chart, and it affects it showing what life experiences and timings you're going through. And that's why it's so important to have it done when you do have a reading, because they work as a tandem team, those two charts.
And I just had mine done, Kelly, by Ron. Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what I had to do this year, everything was in the chart. And so I know that we have, Ron and I have mutual friends that when they're looking to have a serious operation or an operation, not one that, of course, is imminent, but maybe one that's elective, they call Ron and say, hey, Ron, give me some dates that are good, you know, to go under the knife. And Ron has a plethora of people, doctors, lawyers, all kinds of metaphysical people also, that do progress charts and for their business, for their love life, right, Ron? I mean, because you could, I mean, I know I've asked you what, and of course Lauren isn't even anywhere near or have anybody she's thinking about, but I always think, you know, when my daughter looks to get married, the first person I'm going to call is Ron Gold, because he's going to let me know about what a good time for her and for her prospective husband will be. And you do that, Ron, don't you?
Well, you just hit the nail on the head. The progress chart is really a very powerful chart for timing of events, timing of choices that you're making, timing of whether this is a good time to go ahead with that or not a good time. And it is one of the big key factors. And like, for example, on a very cursory level, you can just look at the moon, where the moon is going at any time. Now, today, at the time of our show, it's in Libra. So this can be a very great time for romance and going out for romantic dinners and love and love energy. However, for operations, you do not want to have operations done on the areas of the body ruled by the sign the moon is going through. And Libra is connected to the kidneys and to the female areas. So this is not necessarily the best time for operations on those two parts of the body right now, because when the moon is in a sign, it makes those areas of the body very, very sensitive, sometimes way too sensitive to be disturbed in operational energies. So you can do operation timings from looking at the moon, but you also have to kind of look at the whole picture, the birth chart and transits going on and the progress chart. It's kind of a three-fold system.
I love that, and I know you do that, Ron. So I'm just going to give you, I'm going to give everybody, as I'm driving down this highway with these big weeds, I'm going to give everybody a way to get a hold of Ron. Ron does readings. Ron's readings are unbelievably long, detailed, and accurate and precise, because it's all mathematics. And we use this method that Ron uses way back before, I'm going to say before time. So you can get a hold of him at livingastro.com. He does do...
No, Vadi, I'm sorry. It's livingastro@aol.com. Sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. No, I am so happy you said that. When I'm, like I said, I keep telling everybody I'm driving. I've never done this driving before. But driving, livingastro@aol.com. is where to get a hold of Ron. He is, I mean, famous people always contact him. Don't be afraid. This reading is fabulous, and if you can, it's a great tool to use. So I can't tell you how much I love astrology. I can't look at any books right now to see what else I have. So go ahead, Kelly, you continue.
And guess what? The lady we've been waiting for is here in queue, and Amy is on with us, and she's the one that Ron did the chart for this week. So, Amy, can you hear us now?
Hi, I'm sorry. I guess there was a disconnect because I got a text that said 2:45. But
I said 225, so maybe it auto-corrected.
Mercury,
but
strike
it's
again.
But it's 1:30. But anyway, time doesn't
but
really. We don't want to get bogged down in. We don't want to get bogged down in time since it doesn't even really exist. Hi, everybody.
Amy, this is Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Is Amy.
Well, Amy, it's a pleasure to talk with you through your chart. I have set it up based on the information you gave me, and I am not going to mention, and I will not reveal city dates or times for you or anyone because I believe those are private. You have a very fascinating chart, and when I say fascinating, that's not just something I say to everyone. This is really a fascinating chart. You are born 4 minutes into the sign of Libra. So if there is some kind of head scratching as if the sun in Libra or is the sun in Virgo. Am I on the air? Is anyone hearing me?
I don't know what that noise is. There's some sort of
Bonnie GPS.
Yes,
oh, it's Bonnie. Of course. Silly us.
I thought for a moment we were cut off the air.
I know. And my dead husband will do all sorts of things with phone lines. So I thought he was jockeying with the phone line.
Can you please
get
mute
her
me?
To be quiet,
Can you please mute me, Kelly? And I'm going to listen because, Ron, before you continue, Amy's very fascinating. And I'm so happy that she's having this done because she is a really great girl. And I am very glad that you are doing this. She is herself fascinating. Now, please mute me or you're going to hear my GPS. Please mute me, Kelly.
Gotcha.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, muting you, Bonnie.
Thank you.
This will be one of the few times you'll hear her say, please mute me.
I know, really.
That's a rarity.
Are we okay?
Yes, I hear peace on the airwaves. But anyway, hear you. You said I was born 3 minutes or four minutes into
Libra. If you have that head-scratching thing of, well, am I born with the sun in Libra or the sun in Virgo, you officially have the sun in Libra. In other words, there's no such thing really as a cusp, even though we use that term in describing signs when you're really near, when one changes. You're either one sign or the other, and you officially are a Libra by 4 minutes. Sun at 0 degrees, 4 minutes, Libra.
Yeah, that's been one of my many challenges. Thank God Zodiac jewelry isn't in style right now because that's a huge, it's a huge challenge because, of course, I always wanted to be a Virgo. But
you have five things in Virgo, five placements. So that's really where the conundrum comes from. You're born with the sun in Libra, all right, but you've got Pluto in Virgo, Mercury in Virgo, Moon in Virgo, Mars in Virgo, and the rising sign coming over the eastern edge of the horizon when you were born was Virgo. So there's all this heavy Virgo emphasis, but the sun made that transition into the next sign and officially sets in Libra. That's why I said this is a fascinating chart. Another thing, Amy, you have Mercury, the moon, the planet Mars, and the sun sitting in what we call your first house, which is the house of the physical self, the house of how people see you, the house of your personality, and each of these planets have a different story to tell. So you have to kind of take a needle and thread and sew them all together and kind of describe one to the next how this works. Now, the sun is there in Libra. Let's start with that. This for leadership. When people have the sun in the first house, they have the capacity to take a business, a concept, a situation, and lead it or go and run with it because it is a power principle energy position for that. Out of the 44 almost U.S. presidents, the vast majority of them either had the sun in the first house like you do or in the career house, another area of the chart. And that was one of the reasons why they had such extraordinary leadership to get to that role of president. So it's there. It's in your chart. There's no reason why this could not be lacking or missing. But you combine it with other planets. For example, out of the four, Mercury is the one that's the closest to coming over the eastern horizon. It's the closest to the edge of the Earth, the eastern horizon. And that is excellent for intelligence, communication, IQ, ideas, conceptualization, words, descriptive qualities. These are abilities that you have within you. You can be very flowing with words and ideas. You can be very creative in coming up with new ideas and breakthrough ideas. People with Mercury in this placement are often called idea people. They're the one to come up with the aha moment. Let's do it this way. Or let's consider this. Or wait a minute, I've decided upon trying it this new way. Mercury is the planet that comes up with ideas and concepts and decision-making. And it's in Virgo, which means you've got a very strong attention to details. When you make a decision on something, you analyze it from different perspectives and levels. You think it through down to its core issue and core foundation when you make a decision. And when it's done very well. Your moon is in Virgo, too, and that's in the first house. And that means you have great power to connect with and work with the divine feminine, the sacred feminine, the goddess energy, or energies that come from the true power of female creativity, which is equal in all ways to male power of creativity. And so by having that first house moon, you often can flow with inspiration, mental inspiration. Yes, you have it from inside, but you also have it from kind of a conduit or pipeline link to the divine feminine, where you're given insight or ideas to develop further and base it down to its core level energy and work with. So that's very important. And the moon in the first house often is a person who has a very strong loyalty. Loyalty to their homeland, loyalty to where they live, loyalty to their friends, loyalty to their business. It's the strong loyal energy in the astrology chart. And it has an interesting capacity to look to the past, to learn from the past and remember the past. So you have this not only detailed analytical mind, but you also can go back and think about a certain time in your life when a certain event occurred and say, aha, I can see why that was valuable and I can see what I've learned from that, and now I can bring that experience to the present and into the future and put something together based on what that experience was in the past. And then here comes Mr. Energy Mars, the final of these placements. And Mars is an assertive planet, a move-ahead planet, a choo-choo train type planet. It's the one that never says die, moves on. Many people with Mars in the first house, well, I'm not saying this is you, Amy, have freckles, a birthmark, scar, or
birthmark.
Some kind of issue, especially on their face, head, or shoulders. But it is
face.
An energy
I had
of birthmarking.
A huge birthmark on my cheek.
And the reason why this happens is the word mar or mark comes from Mars, the planet. And it's always been noted that when Mars is in the first house, 95% of the people that have it have some type of birthmark or mark energy there. And there's a huge amount of research going on as to why. What does it mean? Is it psychically significant from past lives? Is there some kind of reason why it's there? Is it some kind of energy point? It's all being researched now, so we don't have any conclusions why, but it seems to occur, like I said, in this high ratio of people. Now, that's the first house, and that's how dynamic that personality area is. When you look at your career house, you have the sign of Gemini there, which is symbolized by the twins, and that means you can do two different jobs, two or more jobs, or work in two or more functions in the job that you do. I gave an example once to a class of a doctor who worked in the day, did all of his medical patients in practice and, you know, seeing them. But as soon as the office closed, he stayed behind. He did all the ledger entry, all of the accounting, got all of the deposits ready for the bank. So he actually did two or more phases of work within the one work. He wore two different hats.
Yeah, at one point in time, I had two full-time jobs, and now I have two diametrically different occupations. Everything you're saying is spot on. Everything you're saying is just spot on.
Well, Mercury is the ruler of both Gemini and Virgo. It is Gemini's planet, which it means it rules your career house because Gemini is there, and it rules all those Virgo placements. So by having these placements of Virgo so strong, and then Gemini way up in the career house, the top of the chart. Mercury is a very powerful planet. So you will notice it, and you will feel it when it's retrograde. You will have different alternative energy experiences in your way of thinking and in your life events during a retrograde Mercury. Now, we're in one right now. I'm just going to briefly mention this. It started February 6th, and it's going to end February 28th. So we don't have that much longer to go. But you'll notice that this is more a time of coming up with an idea and then altering it a little bit, coming up with a direction to go and then kind of reaching a crossroads in that direction, go to point A or point B. This is often a time of more deeper analysis than normal. And for other people in the world outside of yourself, you'll notice people getting more confused, forgetting things, forgetting appointments, mixing up times, having their ways of thinking more scattered. This doesn't necessarily mean it's an evil thing, because a lot of people think it's bad. But when Mercury goes retrograde, it can and will affect your personality and your career house, because it rules it, career, and it rules your, or falls in your house of personality. But what is the good side of a Mercury retrograde? This is a time to deeply meditate and think upon the progress that you're in, to go back and learn from the past, to go back and get pick up energies from even past lives in which you had similar intelligent quota types of personalities, and work with idea conceptualization, and to rearrange desks and things, put them in order, reorganize things. It's very good to do that when Mercury is retrograde. It's also really good to contact people that you haven't heard from in a long time, and maybe even old clients, and I don't mean old by age, but former clients that you haven't had any contact with for a while can pop up again when Mercury is retrograde, because things from the past reappear. So, but this is also, like I said, with Gemini up there, a very, very bright chart. Now, in other areas, Amy, like in your childhood home, Saturn sits there, and it's there in Sagittarius, and that doesn't always indicate the easiest energies in the early years of this life. It can indicate a lot of developmental tension in the home. It could indicate a certain level of stress in the home. It could indicate a certain amount of challenge between family members or between yourself and family members. There sometimes can be sternness, strong disciplinarianness, or there can be just a certain sense of lacking this or lacking that. That doesn't stay forever. It just starts in the early years of the life, because the fourth house deals with the family we're born into and our early developmental years. But once we reach a point of being on our own, the fourth house basically represents things like the home we're living in, real estate. Saturn there, it can actually turn around to be an interesting thing, because it's a land-based planet. It rules an earth sign, Capricorn. And so with this, in the core of things, you could end up doing well in land investments or land sales or purchases and sales with real estate, because Saturn can give a certain prowess, let's say, in those areas. Now, you got Jupiter and Neptune, the planet we spoke about today, Neptune, in your second house, the house of income and money. Now, Neptune can show a very definite orientation towards some type of metaphysical career or metaphysical source of income, such as some type of developmental psychic product or developmental psychic talent or some kind of intuitive energy where some element of spiritualness or looking into people or helping people look into themselves intuitively to get answers can be there. And then there's Jupiter. And people who have Jupiter in the second house have something fascinating about themselves. I mentioned earlier that Jupiter is where you think big. And what happens with Jupiter there is you not only have big, big ways of orientating yourself and thinking where income and money is concerned, but if ever you reach a downturn or you reach a low point or the bottom falls out on something, there's an incredible optimism. Like, oh, well, this is now, but 6 weeks from now, things will be different. 6 months and a year from now, it'll be completely different. There's always this sense of hope and projected optimism, and things do return. It's not just living in a fantasy, because Jupiter is the great protector. Remember earlier I mentioned Jupiter is connected to angels and angelic forces who are great messengers and protectors for human beings. And you have a certain amount of protectiveness looking out for you and looking over you with Jupiter in your second house. And there is, on the metaphysical understanding of astrology, it is often taught that wherever you have Jupiter in the birth chart, you are rewarded for something you did very well for in a past life, or something you lacked and now are being given something back. So by having Jupiter in your financial house, there's a certain protection over you based on perhaps a past life or lives in which there was very little of fiscal or financial abundance, or in which you gave away things to the poor or charities, or something like that, in which now there's a certain protection. It can make a person wealthy, yes, but in the long run, when you look at Jupiter's rule, it is more like angelic force saying you've done well there once, or you went through hard experiences there once, and now you're being rewarded for those hard experiences or for doing well. So it's in Libra, too, which is your sun sign, and that's often the ability to weigh and balance different energies and put them together into some kind of creative thing. Looking at the energy of one side versus another, looking at male energy versus female energy, look at God energy versus goddess energy. You have the ability to take and create something beautiful out of the balancing of two or more different polarities by having Jupiter in Libra. And not everyone with Jupiter in Libra is going to be an incredible artist or an incredible musician, but it can give artistic or musical aptitude when it's in Libra, because that's the sign that is related to bringing beauty into the world through artistic creation. It also is a planet that it's a planet of giving you a sense of feeling happy or rewarded by something, and helping people come back into balance or restore balance within them, or bringing beauty in the world around them, like color and design, and that can give you tremendous sense of inner satisfaction with Jupiter in Libra. Now, Saturn is in Sagittarius when you were born, and that's a sign that can often show in a past life, because Saturn is very connected with the Lord of Karma. He is the planetary body that's connected with balancing off karma or working off karma or paying off karma or neutralizing karma and freeing oneself up from karma. Saturn in Sagittarius could indicate in a past life being into a very strict religion, a very strict, stern, very strong, worded and strong ruled religion.
Lots of dogma kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah, dogma type of religion. So you could very likely come from a past life in which that was very much dominating your life. And it could have spilled forth into this life, but it didn't stay long. What happened is you're coming out of a point of strictness and rules. This is right, this is wrong, and you cannot go over the line when Saturn is in Sagittarius. Now, Saturn can also be where we carry tension in our body and how it could affect our body. And Sagittarius rules the last five vertebrae of the spine, the pelvis, the hip area, the joints to the hips. So the thighs, the hips, the pelvis, the ending part of the spine are all ruled by Sagittarius. And you'll notice that if you have too much concentrated stress overload or too much problems or pressure, you may actually get low back pain, hip pain, pelvic problems, one leg shorter than the other, or problems in the hip or thigh itself. And when you work on releasing that or getting through it and it's over, you'll notice that those areas can correct and heal. Because wherever we have Saturn, we can have problems in those areas of the body when we let an overload of developmental tension and challenges get to us. And it's so easy to let that happen. Now, you've got Mars in Virgo, and that's another planet, and Mars deals with anger issues. So if you get angry or continuously angry about someone or something, that can affect your nerves, your nervous system, and to some extent the intestines. But that
yep.
will go away
yep.
when the anger issues are corrected, when the anger issues are just moved away from. See, those two planets have the most seeming effect on the human body based on those two different polarities, stress in one, anger in the other. Now, but everyone's got them. Everyone has them somewhere. You have Venus in Scorpio, and it's sitting right on the North Node. Now, the node is not a planet. The node is a symbolic point of the moon, but boy, is it important, because the North Node indicates a certain destiny that we are supposed to go in that direction or fulfill in this life, like a dharma, as opposed to karma from past lives. Dharma means mission ahead. And
mm-hmm.
the moon, Venus is at 10 degrees Scorpio, and the North Node is at 11 degrees Scorpio. So that means you've got a certain destiny in this lifetime to work strongly with feminine energy, females, that's Venus, to work with women or to work with sacred feminine or divine feminine or female guides or female teachers or female angels or angelic sources, or working well to uplift the condition and the awareness and the empowerment level of women. And it also means that you can have a certain unification with whatever work you do for people and love in their life by who they love, who they are attracted to, their potential mate or person they're dating, or actually the marriage itself. Because Venus is representative of where we unify with another person in love, in partnering. And in Scorpio, this is a very psychic sign. This is a sign of dealing with psychic energies. This is a sign of dealing within the deep, deep subconscious motivations of people and the deep hidden sides of people's self. It's the sign that's excellent for a psychiatrist, a psychologist, Carl Jung, people like him, or Freud were very much into the psyche of each individual. And Scorpio represents the deep, deep inner hidden workings within each of us. And you've got great power with Venus in that North Node to particularly connect with women and to ding, like a certain almost a level of vibration, work in them understanding or helping them or changing them. You can work with men, yes, but Venus is particularly feminine, and you could work where people deal with the concept of love, because Venus is love-orientated, so it's love of self, love with another, love of nature. Love in any of its expressions is related to Venus, and so you've got a capacity to not only work with strong sacred energy, love energy, but to trigger and work within the psyches of other people just from what you do. And it's a very metaphysical way of working in a very talented way. And this is in your third house, the house of how you think, the house of ideas in your mind, the house of how your mind works. Like I said earlier, you've got a very deep probing mind. You look to the foundation and base issues of things and can understand things from the core base upward.
Right.
I'm going fast, I know. Do you have any questions or areas you want
me to
look
at?
No.
I mean, everything you hit, it's like, so it's not like reading the horoscope in the newspaper, kind of like, oh yeah, you know, you hit on things that were just so specific. The birthmark, I do work with women. I have gotten really involved in the whole field of death and dying, and I work with widows to sort of empower them, you know, to sort of empower them and change the way they think about the fact that they've got, instead of thinking about that they have a dead husband, it's more like a long-distance relationship. And it has been, the work I'm doing, someone who's like sort of famous in death and dying found out about me, and I'm now working with him and still doing my date. So everything that you said was just like it was like you had a spy, like you had a spy on me or something like that. So it's really, and about my relationship to the past, because I always felt that you could change the past. And everyone was like, no, you can't. No, you can't. I was like, yes, you can. You can change the past. You just have to think about, you know. And so it's interesting, because sometimes I wonder, like, where do I get these ideas? Because people, like, I'm a little ahead of my time. So a lot of times people think I'm crazy for about 18 months, and then they're like, oh, now we get it. And, you know, needless to say, that can be a little bit, you know, my life has been a little bit difficult because of that. But that's the thing that I really love about this, is that when you explore this stuff at a deep level and not just, you know, not just as a parlor game or something like that, you can really find meaning in your, I don't want to call it, well, for lack of a better term, in your suffering. And you find that, you know, some of the things that you consider were the absolute worst things that happened to you were really like divine gifts to, you know, and part of a much bigger plan. I do have one question, and that has to do with past lives. And so are we always... When we, you know, incarnate or reincarnate or whatever the case may be, do we always come as the same sign? Is like our soul, or is our soul that sign, or it's just our body is that sign? Or all of
it's
it?
Our body being that sign. I want to make one comment before I finish this answer to you. Scorpio, where you have your Venus in North Node, is the sign of death. Is the sign of someone being affected by another person passing on. And I kind of didn't mention that to you earlier, and then I realized, hey, that was a very important thing about having the North Node aligned with
you. Isn't
Venus
that funny how you don't say things? Because it's like, oh, we don't want to talk about, you know, and there it is. It's like, I mean, I really, it's been, I had two, my husband died and then my brother died, and they were just absolute, I don't want to say that it was great because it was very sad that they died, but it like totally changed my world, and immediately like all these doors opened, and it's just been a really powerful experience that you just couldn't make up. You know, who wants to go help people die? You know, I'm a hospice volunteer, but the woman's part, you know, my special interest is sort of empowering women. Like, this was supposed to happen, and you know, just getting them to look at it from a different perspective. But so that was very spot on.
I want to mention, though, the finishing part of the question you asked. No, we do not come in the same sign or even in the same sex. There are 12 ways of being in the world, and we call those the signs of the zodiac: Aries, Taurus, Gemini, etc., all the way through Pisces, and all planets can be in various signs. They don't have to be in the same sign. Like, for example, your sun is in Libra, but you've got five things in Virgo. Now, that's for this life. This is an experience pattern of energy that you're working with, living with, and walking with its timings and patterns of timings in this lifetime. But once you leave the physical world, astrology is only connected to the physical plane of existence. In any future life, you could have a completely different chart because your soul is working on a different set of energy patterns then.
Now that I think, I mean, I knew that because it's based on when you were born. I mean, it's just, I was just thinking about it from a whole different level. Like, of course, right, of course that's it because it's based on when you were born. But let me ask you one other question. I don't know if I'm taking up too much time. It's really more a general question. You know, it seems to be when you truly study astrology, you know, the actual time and place and birth and all of those things are critical to getting a an accurate chart. But those things are left up to someone else's free will. You know, like your mother decides to go to the hospital or, you know, is holding on and, you know, and labor takes 24 hours instead of 2 hours and stuff like that. So am I overthinking this? But so someone else is,
no,
someone else's free will could have such a
question.
Okay.
The new coming life is in charge of the birth. No matter what time the birth happens, it is not the mother or the hospital. It is the new soul coming into life. So whether it is a cesarean that the parents decide to have done at a certain time and they think that they're controlling the birth, in fact, it is the child that needs to be born at that time and the cesarean is being done exactly when they need it, or whether you go in and expect a birth in a few hours and the mother's still in labor 24 hours, the timing of astrological patternings has not yet come into being until that 24-hour pattern has come together, and then the child is born. So in other words, as much as we think we have a great control over when we can have a child and give birth to a child, it is that incoming soul that is in charge of that birth, because it will be that chart that they have from that birth time that they will live with in this whole lifetime.
So that energy, the energy of that soul, it's plays a role in the traffic jam that the doctor gets in and the phone ringing and that keeps the nurse and that energy just orchestrates all of the pieces that need to come together for, you know, someone to have a baby in the modern age.
It seems
wow. So
hard for people to accept that, but it is true. If a doctor is in a traffic jam and the mother-to-be is now in the last parts of labor and the child is being born and the doctor's still in the traffic jam, the child is being born at that moment that they need to be born. And it is very interesting that we do not, in our physical world as parents or as medical workers, have really the control over the birth. We are only there as the child is born, and we are assisting or aiding or being there to deliver the child, but the child still is born and takes their first breath. And this is quite interesting because it shows that there's a higher metaphysical timing for everything, and that's what the astrology chart is. It's a timing for this life. And those of you that are listening that do not have your chart, who do not know your chart, you're going through life blindly, because this is not superstition. This is a roadmap for your lifetime and the timing of cycles and events. And that's why it is big time importance to know what types of energy cycles you're dealing with at any given time, or to have the knowledge of your birth chart.
Sorry, I had muted. Wow. No, I can't. I mean, it's
that's awesome.
It's amazing. That was, it really is fascinating. And I mean, it's just, I haven't really had that much of a great interest in astrology, because I just thought it was, yeah, exactly, superstition, you know. I really thought
superstition, or those sun sign columns. Oh, those sun sign columns in newspapers and magazines have done more to harm and damage astrology, because people think that's all there is. It perpetuates in their mind that that is the sign you're born under, and that is the furthest thing from the truth. It only indicates one thing in your astrology chart, the position of the sun. It has nothing to say about the moon, Mercury, Venus, any of the planets, what houses they are in, what point is rising over the eastern horizon, and what houses have different signs on them, and then the energy or angle or positions between planets to each other. So it's like trying to take a person's temperature and attempting to give a complete health diagnosis from it when you look at that sun sign stuff, and that is really very wrong.
And how did that, I mean, I don't want to go in too many different directions, but how did the science or the whatever of astrology get trivialized into something so, stupid, for lack of a better term?
Well, it happened as a result of a British tabloid. Around the time of World War I, there was a British astrological magazine that was about to go under. It was shutting its doors. It had so few purchasers that it was fated to end its publication. And the publisher got an idea at the 11th hour, the last minute, and said, listen, the sun goes into the same, a new sign around the same time each month, around the 21st of each month, and it's there a month. We're going to start publishing a magazine saying, the sign of Libra, are you this sign? And then the next month, the sign of Scorpio, are you this sign? And what they did is they jumped in and made the emphasis of the sign of, and by the time they had gotten to 6 months, 8 months, their incredible sales shot out of the roof, and everyone began buying this because this magazine began explaining the sign you are born under. And what happened is that blew up all over the world into the lexicon that is what astrology is. But actually, until around that period, around 100 years ago, there was no such thing as what sign are you or what sun sign are you. It was basically what was rising over the eastern edge of the earth when you were born. And that was the big factor in astrology from all the centuries before. But because that magazine emphasize the sign of the month, and it's very convenient because it changes right around that same day each year or each month, it became an easy way for people to break astrology down into 12 segmented parts. And that's how we got into this painted into a corner blind knowledge about what astrology really is.
It's fascinating. No, it makes perfectly good sense because, I mean, you see that same trivialization happen to so many other things.
Amy, I thank you. And also, Kelly, there, I want to thank you, too, but I need
yes,
to go
sure
because
am.
I have an appointment.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say I thank
I
you.
I wanted to interrupt you.
You
it's like...
For allowing me,
I just say, Ron, I learned so much when I listen to you. It's like I do. It's like you just have like gold nuggets of information. It's like it's just absolutely. Bonnie's right. It's like I'm just absolutely riveted. I listen. I could listen to you for hours. I just could. So, but yeah, that was an awesome and amazing reading too.
Well, Amy,
yes,
the
very
reading
very powerful.
Was good
I'm very
in a half
appreciative.
Hour or so. Well, thank you, Amy, but this is just scratching the surface. The real reading lasts about 2.5 hours, and it is very complex, very involved with a lot more detail. That's why anyone who's interested needs to contact me at livingastro@aol.com, and I will have to have a city, date, and time of birth, and they have to be accurate. Now, people always say, well, it's the time's not on my birth certificate. Well, ask for the long form, the L-O-N-G. What you do is have the short form of your birth certificate, and many items are left out. You have to go in and ask for the long form, and on the long form will be the time of birth, somewhere on that form. And many people don't understand it. They think that's the birth certificate, and that's all there is. So
yep,
thank
indeed.
You very much.
I was going to say, Amy,
well,
thank you for yourself.
And I am going
to. Yes, thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
And I'm going to bring Bonnie back on. I'm going to see if she's listening here. It's like she may still be driving down the road and being like Willie Nelson. There you are, Bonnie!
Oh, I hate being muted. Oh, my goodness. I so badly wanted to say things. I'm never going to get muted again. I just can't take it. Ron, you were so spot on. I know Amy. I know her past. I know what she's gone through. And I'm just shocked. I'm shocked that it would show that detail. Not because I'm shocked that you found it or did it, because mine does. It's just so amazing to me. And I hope, Amy, you loved it because, honey, that was a reading and a half.
Well, I thank you very much. It was a pleasure to do it, everyone. I don't mean to be rude, but I must leave now because I've got to make a phone call. And so I'll be talking to everyone next week then.
All right, thank you, Ron.
Alrighty,
thank you, Ron. We've got
people lined up for you already, Ron. So it's like there's the Tabitha is next week, and it's like I'm going to check with Bonnie for sure, but I believe we have Yolanda, who is the credit nurse, lined up for March 5th. So we've got a Skyped Bonnie information there, so she'll have a couple more dates and times for you. So awesome. We so look forward to having you back again. Thank you so much, Ron.
Okay.
Thanks, Ron.
Goodbye now.
Thank you. Amy, I mean, I don't even know what to say. Girlfriend, you need to go in to see him because he lives around where you work and get a full reading.
Yes, I know. I know. It was pretty profound. Everything, the birthmark, the family stuff.
Oh my.
The female energy, because, of course, everyone else here knows I'm a mermaid, which is kind of alternative female, because I was sick of all that goddess female energy, woo-woo, stupid stuff. I was like, let's go out and play in the water, and when boys start driving us crazy, we can just go swim with dolphins, and it's just much more playful than these exhausting female energies. So
well,
Jeff hit the nail on the head.
I know.
And it's awesome to know you're a Libra. It's awesome to know she's a Libra, because for so long we thought she was a Virgo. It's like 4 minutes into being a Libra, so Amy is a Libra. She's an air sign. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. You've got another Libra coming on. Susan is a Libra.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All righty.
Well, anyway,
is she coming on today? Because we don't have enough women on the phone right now. Chris, can you call in, please? I know you're listening.
You know, Susan is on.
Chris made that comment and told you Ron is a brave man to come on with all these women on air. It's like, yes, he is.
Aw, he's so sweet. I love Ron. But, Amy, I love you, sweetheart. And stay on, because I know, listen, Susan's getting an Atlantean life card reading with Kelly, and I think she's on, so pick her up, Kelly.
Oh, so she is in the house. So
yeah,
the energy is all over the place.
Yeah,
I think I just got unmuted.
Hi.
Yes,
Susan.
Is that you, Susan? There she is.
Yes, I heard that. Unmuted.
Do you want, oh, Bonnie? Do you want my reading? Do you want my star chart?
What is your star chart?
What he just read. You know how you always want everyone's book and everyone's past lives and everything. Oh,
she's
going to
claim it for her own. Yes, Bonnie wants to be a Libra.
Wait a minute, Amy. I already have that girlfriend because I'm switching signs and I'm going
good,
to
okay.
what you are. But I have to tell you that's after I need to tell everybody that I channeled Amy's book. So, again, and I think there's a couple books, actually, I've changed the channel for you, Amy. And, you know, I'm really good at this because everybody that writes a book, it's because I've channeled it, which is so cool. And I am so excited.
How did you have time to write all those books and talk at
the
same time?
She wants that credit.
Yes, well, do you want to know how? Because all I have to do is download the information into all of your brain, and you write it. So I am so excited that I get to do that.
I think they call that something, Bonnie.
Oh, please, sister.
Yeah.
Plagiarism.
Oh, please.
Spiritual plagiarism.
Oh, yes.
Plagiarism.
I'm just saying it. But there it is. But
we might need another set. We might need some to have a show on spiritual appropriateness. But Bonnie, I'm gonna go buy you a gold Libra medallion that you can wear, because me and Susan.
Yeah.
I'll buy you two, since something of mine is in Gemini. I'll buy you two for your twins.
Well, thank you. You're so sweet. I love you so much, Amy. I am going to tell you that I hate being muted. Now, Susan, I know how you felt. I just can't do the mute thing. So,
you might as well swear at Bonnie to say, when she hears that muted. It's like you might as well have just called her every name in the book, because that's how she's taken it.
I know. I'm just telling you that I just wanted to reach my hand in there, Amy, because there were so many things I wanted to say.
Oh,
but,
I bet.
I was waiting. Yeah,
I'm going to get you a First Amendment charm bracelet. I'm going to get you a First Amendment charm bracelet because you have freedom of speech. Bonnie has freedom of speech.
Aw, thank you, Amy. I love that. I love all of that stuff. And now I am going to tell you, you could stay on. Susan, I know Susan wants to get her reading, and you're looking at, Kelly, you're looking at that's your girl. And Amy, this is so cool because you and Kelly are going to be on in a couple weeks. You're going to be on together doing two shows. And I love that because you know I love you in the house, Amy.
Gemini shows. We're doing Gemini shows.
Cool. Air shows. Air shows.
Yes.
Air shows.
Yes. Well, that means you never know who's going to show up.
That's right.
Who the wind blows in.
Bonnie will find a way. She'll find a way. She'll be on the subway in New York. I'll be like, what's that noise? I'm being robbed, but it's not going to keep me from the show.
Oh, honey, and you know what? I'm driving down 95. And I'm just thinking, I hope to goodness that I don't cross a couple more of these lines here. So I am going to, but don't you mute me, but I am going to just listen. So otherwise, I might hit a truck.
Okay, I will not mute you this time, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Because it's perfectly fine if you break in. Because I know you get spirit messages, and it's like I'm thinking Amy does too. So it's like I'm going to leave both you guys on the line here. So if you got something to say, by all means, jump up because I'll take a breath and listen.
This is a nice intermission. I think that there's plenty of people who are listening, and I want to hear what you have to say about Susan because she's a fascinating woman.
Let me get your month and day real quick here again, Susan.
10/18/48.
There we go.
And you
18.
Know,
okay.
I have to say that to the listening audience that on our show, on your show on Sunday, you gave a reading, Atlantic card reading to my sister Mary, and you had. Started mine, and then we got kind of cut off.
Cut
That's
off.
Why I'm calling.
Blog blogged me off. Yes, they did.
Yeah,
it happened. All the time.
You were so spot on. My sister is not like me and Bonnie and everyone else that I know. She probably has a reading once every 5 years.
Wow.
I know. She, I mean,
oh, God,
I love her.
Once in a 5 year thing. I'm honored. Awesome.
So I said, you know, you have to have a reading with Kelly. You just have to. And she said, okay. She said, I'll do that. She said, yeah. And she was blown away by you, Kelly, and all your information. So I just wanted listeners to know that, and to also tune into your Sunday show where you do your Atlantean cards. Yes.
Sunday at 4:30. I'm in Mountain Time though, so it's like for you guys on the East Coast, it's 6:30 your time. So it's like just about the time you're finishing dinner, and it's like it's the after dinner coffee hour moment. So it's coffee and cards.
I love that.
All righty. Well, let's see, let's get started here. It's like hopefully my sound quality is a little bit better today because I think Bonnie had told me that some of the sound quality there on Sunday was a little bit scratchy when we got to yours. So I'm going to apologize for that because I know sometimes it's my phone. Sometimes, I don't know, sometimes we just have really interesting electrical interference moments. So, anyway.
Oh, yeah. I think we got your mic volume settled in. Yeah, because you had your speakers up too loud, and now you sound perfect.
Cool. Okay, very good. All right, well, you are a four of clubs as your birth card, and your planetary ruling card is the Jack of Spades. The four of clubs is called the mental satisfaction card, and it's a card of stability, but you've got the underlying five of clubs that you've got a lot of hidden restlessness, and it can manifest in a lot of different ways. You're really progressive. You can utilize that to create new ideas in your chosen line of work rather than just let that restlessness keep you from achieving success. You really know what you know. You're not likely to change your minds on behalf of anybody else saying anything unless you see that value of change for yourself. Stubborn can be described the fourth, and if you think of a little donkey,
that would be it.
Flies, you know? I'm going to say you can be fond of arguments since you usually win. You usually do well in legal matters, and if they had debate back in high school, you probably would have wiped the floor with anybody you were debating with. You've got a really good constitution. You're not afraid of hard work. It's a really successful card. You're good at sales work. You enjoy talking about what you believe in. You're popular. You do well in groups, and as long as you don't let that love of debate, you know, get out of hand, you keep a fine reputation at work. But you also, one of your challenges is you want a successful love life, and it is a major life challenge for the Four of Clubs, because often that drive and determination masks a desire to be accepted by others, which is kind of that same acceptance that you find difficulty in giving yourself. So it's like what I'm going to refer to as the two great commands, you know, where Christ said you love your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and the second one was you love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the part of that phrase that gets lost in there. So you've always got to remember to love yourself, and it's like filling a pitcher. It's like you fill yourself with that love, and then your love overflows. It's like it's okay to love yourself. It's like you're not being narcissistic when you do that. It's just a good, healthy self-esteem.
But Bonnie totally loves herself from head to toe, so I'm taking lessons.
Yes, I do. Thank you, girlfriend.
Have a good.
You're welcome.
And in some cases, your desire for work success competes with your desire for love and affection. Now, this is what we were talking about. The last years of your life are often the most successful, and you usually end up with financial protection or, you know, money in the bank. They call it, you know, financial opulence. Collectively, the Four Clubs card is the keepers of knowledge, and you show the rest of cards in the deck, you know, that the information has a practical value and that we can be happy and successful by applying what we already have, because each of us comes into this life with, you know, different challenges and different talents. In relationships, though it can manifest in a lot of different ways, the Four Clubs people, that need for affection, that's a major issue in your life. And with that combination of certain restlessness, because that five of clubs, any of the fives gives us a certain restlessness internally. It can give you a fear of commitment, and it can be the cause for untold painful relationships, you know, that come in and out of life.
Oh,
now, it's not true for everybody.
I guess that one.
It's kind of like what Ron was talking about with the astrology. There's a lot of other cards that impact there. It's like, you know, this is like your sun sign, you know, it's like is the Four of Clubs. That's her major one, but it's like the other cards also factor in. It's like, and there's a whole page on, you know, just how you relate to each of the other cards in the deck, because you have a relationship, you know, each of the cards relate to the other ones, and there's a couple different, they have a life spread and they have a spiritual spread. So it's like the life spread is what currently goes on in this life, and then the spiritual spread is what has happened in past lives. And a lot of times when you do like the yearly stuff and you're comparing cards, it's like you'll see the NS, you know, beside one of the connections, and that indicates a spiritual connection, which is like usually a past life. And it's like when someone who has a card that comes in with a spiritual connection with you, it's usually because you've chosen that, you know, you've both chosen that relationship to kind of tie up loose ends and kind of clean up whatever went on that you didn't finish in the previous, you know, lifetime. Now you do have, let's see, your basic love karma is good, and if you find a partner that appreciates a little space, you know, so you guys don't get root bound, you know, you're going to be happier. That Jack of Spades in Venus tells us that you've got to watch for a tendency to be attracted to the bad boys. I think I was coming in clear on that one, because I remember you saying something about that. It's like, and you can either... Yeah, you can either be that way yourself, or you can attract people in. So it's like a lot of times when there's a specific quality, it's like if you yourself don't embody that, a lot of times you get that mirror image, and it's like you tend to attract people who are like that. So now if you, you know, there's two kinds of jacks. There's, you know, different kinds of people. So it's like, you know, you might be attracting the bad boys in. On the flip side, you can also, if you choose to walk the higher spiritual path, you're going to conversely, you know, attract in really positive people, you know, a lot more positive, and that's going to have a much better outcome for a lot of things, obviously. Okay, and we're looking at Oh, yeah. Well, I almost forgot it there, yeah, because I usually do that first. Exactly what your Jack of Spades is, because it's your planetary ruler. And it's kind of like the, you know, like the ascendant, it would act as the ascendant does. And it's how you express yourself to the world. It's like, you know, the Four of Clubs is like the inner person. The Jack of Spades is kind of like the outer person. And it adds a strong creative urge to your personality that can manifest in a lot of ways. You may feel drawn towards acting or some form of artistic expression. Even if you're not, you know, you have a lot of creativity that you apply at whatever work you're doing. And what I've told people is, you know, I've seen people be creativity when they're bricklayers, you know, or, you know, making a garden or braiding bread or, you know, it's like, so whatever it is that you do, you've got this really creative urge to make it, you know, really ta-da, you know. The Jack of Spades the Jack of Spades is also called the card of the thief because of that strong creative influence. People with that card sometimes make few distinctions in that area of honesty when it comes to getting what you want, and it is one of the one-eyed Jack cards. Therefore, other people might see you as really being one-sided in your opinions or attitudes. But it's also, on the flip side, you know, the good and the bad, is the card of the spiritual initiate. And you might feel drawn towards the study of, you know, spiritual subjects, which can transform your life to a higher level, which obviously that's where you're at right now. Or you wouldn't be talking to us today.
Yeah.
Been through this.
I know what she did. She stole my book. That's what she did. She's the Jack of Spades, and she stole my book.
What are you going to do when the second one comes out and you realize it's like, oh my God, I don't even know what this one's about. How are you going to do that?
I'm going to channel it again, babe. I'm going to channel it.
Oh, you're just going to tell people,
with
oh,
footnotes and interpretations.
I had a momentary spiritual loss of memory.
Yes.
There you go. That's what we call brain farts. Is that a spiritual brain fart?
I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so and I'm not sure if you got all these before from the other one, but just going to run through real quick. It's like your planets, the Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, and the days, you know, of course, your personal years. Of course, you start in Mercury with your October 18th birthday, and it's there for 52 days. And in Venus time starts December 9th. Your Mars time starts January 31st, which is where you're at right now, because Jupiter does not start until March 24th. You've got Saturn, and Jupiter's usually the blessed time of year. Saturn, your challenging time of year, starts May 15th, and then Uranian time frame starts July 6th. And the very last, but not least, is Neptune, which is what Ron was talking about today, begins August 27th and goes to your birthday. So, again, I know I'm talking fast, and I also know you can go back in archives and grab these. So, with that going forward, let's see. I'm going to get to I know. Really faster. Going forward to your particular birth cards for this year. It's like in these, and I love this because they're all mathematical. They're laid out from the time you're born until the age of 100. So, you know, they kind of give this expectation. It's like, you know, everybody could live this long. It's like, all right, how cool. Let's see. For this year, though, where you're at. Oh, and yeah, that's right. Also, we have five cards during the year that give a year-long influence. There's the long-range card. There we go. There's a pair of cards that are the Pluto and result cards, and they are read as a pair. Then there's the environmental card, which is kind of looked at as your year-long blessings. And then there's the displacement card, which is kind of sometimes the challenges or things that you might be, you know, dealing with this year or, you know, might be on your mind. Now, your long-range one, we all kind of had a good giggle with this one because it's the Queen of Hearts, which is the marriage card. And ironically enough, you're like, well, I was thinking about that, but, you know, all these financial things are coming up. I'm going, and it's really funny because as you progress through the year, it's like you do have a lot of diamonds in your year this year, which is diamonds you talk about our finances. On the deeper level, they talk about our values. But a lot of times when diamonds show up, we get lessons through money, you know, which helps us in turn, you know, make some of our different values or different decisions. And it is four of your year-long cards.
I hope that lesson is like, gee, Susan, how are you going to spend it?
We'll find out. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's see. Your Pluto card is a seven of diamonds. And that's anytime it's a seven. What I've discovered with this is, generically speaking, is the odd number cards are the ones that give us more of our challenges. They can give us creativity. They can, like the threes and the jacks give us creativity. The aces like to start things. The fives are very restless. The sevens are about faith. The nines are about completing things. The jacks, you know, like I say, again, they can be shifty, but they can also be, you know, a high source of creativity. And then there's the kings that come in. They're the 13th card in the deck, and they just kind of come in, and it's like you have, it's an area where you have mastery. So it's like by the time you know, it's like the time you get to the kings or have a king in your reading, it's like you're working on mastering things. But what you got going this year, you've got the seven of diamonds as your Pluto card, which is your challenge. So it's about having faith that you're going to have, you know, be taken care of, that you're going to have the finances you want. And usually what's said with this one is, you know, don't shoot yourself in the foot with your own thoughts, because when you're, when the sevens show up, it's like if you worry about, oh my goodness, am I going to have enough, you're going to attract in, think of Rhonda Byrne's Law of Attraction, you're going to attract in what you're worrying about or how you're focusing on it. So if you kind of sit there and don't worry about it, just go, you know, remember Bobby McFerrin's song, don't worry, be happy, you know. It's kind of that. When the sevens show up, it's don't worry, be happy and be positive and stay positive, because a lot of that is overcoming your own negative thought patterns, okay? And sometimes that can be hard. You know, it's you don't think about it until all of a sudden, you know, you're going along, and Bonnie was real cute today because Bonnie says, well, my radio show is never going to be that. And I said, no, Bonnie, don't say it, don't say it. It's like, yeah, be positive with what you're going to say. If you're going to make a prediction, make it a good one.
I know that's my correction here when she's saying, you know, it's like, oh, I'm just going to die if this happens. I go, no, Bonnie, no, don't say that.
No, don't say that. Unless you're going to be reborn. The phoenix might die, but it's going to be reborn in the ashes, exactly.
I know, I said, you're going to be so happy. You're so amazed, but not die.
There you go. Not I'm going to die, right? Oh, goodness. But paired with that, that seven of diamonds is the queen of diamonds, is the result card. So the queens are, again, they're about mastery. It's a lot about mastering yourself, and it's about mastering your finances this year and mastering those thoughts. And, of course, the queens are always nurturing. The queens tend to take, you know, everybody around them under their wings, so it's like you might find yourself in a nurturing position this year with, you know, kind of mentoring people, helping along, you know, keeping the rain off of them, you know, however that may be. The environment card, your blessing for the year, is a two of diamonds. Like I said, you have four diamonds in your long range, which is anytime you get twos, it's about pairs. It's about being in union or being in partnership with someone. So you might very well find a cohort in crime, you know, to start a new business, or, you know, find some new way of making money, something like that. The displacement one, this is one I was really going to look at, because it's the ten of diamonds, which is, even though it's in even though it's in the displaced place, that ten of diamonds is called the blessed card. So in the in that displacement, it's in the most auspicious position this year, because it's the most blessed spot. You're surrounded by the influence of Jupiter, which is the planet of spiritual and material blessings. Some of the research has shown that people in this position usually receive what is their most heartfelt desire. So, you know, take your 3x5 index card and write that sucker out and go, here's my heartfelt desire, and focus on that. Sometimes the wish that is fulfilled is more of a mundane nature, such as, you know, like money or business success. Other times it's of a more spiritual nature. The exact nature of your blessing is determined by your approach to life and what it is that you find to be the most important. Sometimes people have had major breakthroughs in their life during this year, while others have just had their prayers answered, which I'm thinking, that's pretty good. Prayers answered can be really good. So it's be careful what you wish for, because you're probably going to get it. It's not just an ordinary desire that's fulfilled, but instead something that is more personal and meaningful to you. You might be able to determine, you know, what it can be by just kind of asking yourself, what is it you want most right now? But even after doing that often, the result is kind of a mystery until it actually happens. And you go, oh, my goodness, it's a thank you, God moment. You know, that the specific timing of the blessing is not definite either. All it's known is that it's going to occur sometime during this year before your next birthday. So
do
whatever
I just
it
get
is
one?
That you're holding in your heart. Sir, what?
Do I get
you just get one? Well, you know, I'm not sure if this is a Lobb's lamp or not. If you got some good ones, just like write them down.
Yeah, it's a Taurus moon that I've got. You know, it's like, can I have two? You know, it's like I have two things in mind.
Can I have two wishes? Well, you know what? I was actually thinking back to what they said about the original story of Aladdin. I think it was Rhonda Byrne in The Secret said, you know, the original story said there was no limit to the wishes. It's like that was kind of something I think Disney put on us, or you know, came down later. So originally, Aladdin's lamp had no cap on. It's like, you know, had no limit on how many wishes you could have. So I don't know, you know what, number them, take a page of paper, write down what you really want. And it's like, and some of them, you know, when you go, it's like you might prioritize them and go, yeah, okay, this is more important, that's more important, you know. So put your most important things at the top and then, you know, kind of filter down, because likely you'll get your more important things. Exactly.
I like
work
that.
It down.
I like that idea. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So
yeah.
I have a big blessing coming this year. Right.
That's yes. Yes, indeedy.
All right. Like that.
And it is in diamonds, so it's like, yes, diamonds can be a girl's best friend. So it can either be a financial blessing, or it can be that spiritual breakthrough that can, you know, if you know, having more materially is what you really want, and it does. It indicates that, you know, in your later years, which is, you know, kind of where you're at, it's like there is going to be something occurring in one of the years. It's like there's, I get tickled when I listen to Bonnie. It's like, you know, and Ron's like, yeah, full readings, like 2.5 hours. I'm going, yeah, I could easily spend that with people also, you know, just going through all the different things, because there's 13-year cycles that you go through. There's what's called a lifetime reading. There's, you know, all these different things that happen. You know, there's pinnacle years. There's ascent to pinnacle years. There's, you know, when you had at 45, you had your rebirth year. You know, there's so many things that happen in our life that, you know, and we get the heads up, you know. It kind of gives us, you know, this is going to be a year of difficult endings, or this is a year of blessed endings. So it's like we have all those, and they're all mathematically calculated, so it's all the probabilities, and it's phenomenal to look at and go through and just go, wow, you know. Could
yeah.
easily spend like a couple hours with you on this. I could.
Oh yeah, let me share something with you, you know, and this phenomenal reading that you're giving me about 20 years ago, maybe even more. I was at a point in my life where I was, you know, at a career change, and I went to see this old time, you know, he was like, you know, smoking cigarettes, had no teeth, you know, reeked of alcohol.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'm an old time
gotcha.
Reader, you know. Yeah, and it's like I went to, oh, my God, yeah, and I'm thinking, okay. And he, you know, and the first thing that he said to me, and I mean, and everything that he said to me was spot on. The first thing he said to me, he goes, well, your buying career is over. He said, you're going to go into metaphysics, blah, 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 you know. And then the
wow.
last thing that he said to me was, I mean, and literally every single thing that they were so far ahead of what it was
right.
that, you know, he was projecting, but he said, you have a wealth card here. He said, you're destined for fame and fortune. He said,
wow.
for sure. He said, but you have Colonel Sanders syndrome. And he said, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Right.
I was
Colonel
like,
Sanders was 75 when he started.
Yeah.
Said, you might have another 10 years in this.
No, he was 65 years old when he opened his first franchise. And I'm 65
wow.
this year. And that's
wow.
what he told me. He said, look up, he said, what year that Colonel Sanders opened his first franchise. He said, that's the year your fame and fortune start.
Wow. So that's this year. That is awesome. Well, you know, I remember a little bit of the story because we ran across that, and it said part of the reason that he decided he was, you know, Colonel Sanders decided he was going to do something different was because he thought Social Security was going to pay him a whole lot of money. And when he got this itty-bitty check, he went, what? I'm going to do something else. So that's when he had that, you know, Yeah, yeah. That's when he said, I got this recipe in my family. I'm going to make this famous. And he did. And that's exactly it. You know, then he sold out X number of years later for a lot of money. So he got his retirement, but it wasn't through Social Security that his wealth came in.
Yeah, well, you know, and I've never heard that comment before, but he said, what the cards say, he said, you have Colonel Sanders syndrome. He said, so when you hit, he's 65, 67, 70, something like that. He said, look up and see when he opened his first franchise. And so I did, and he was 65.
I'll be darned. That is cool. That is really cool. I was looking for this particular bit here for for auspicious years for you. Kind of looking at this. You have like what they have for purpose finding in faded years. Okay, so you have some of these 60, 61, 64, 70, 71, 75. I mean, it goes all the way up to 99. So there's, you know, so you're in that time frame right now where, you know, 64, and then there's another, you know, purpose finding faded year. So you had some stuff happen last year, and you're going to have some stuff, you know, happen again at 70. Years of blessed endings. Again, there was at age 59, 62, 64, 68. That's coming up 71. You also have, I'm going to give you the bad with this here. The difficult endings were things like, now I'm looking at this going, and your 44th year, which was a pre-birth year, was like a plus two difficult ending. 49, something happened. That was kind of a hard. 50, 55, 56, 57, 59, all were difficult. 64 also, it's really ironic because you can have a blessed ending for your year as well as a difficult one. It's like, and it just depends on what cards are there. So it's like, you can be blessed, but it can still be hard. So 64, which was last year, you don't have another difficult ending really coming up until 67 and then until 74. Years of caution, it gives you some cautionaries. Now, you had 55, 58, and then your next one coming up to 68. So, you know, you got about a 10-year span in there where just, you know, it's the be careful moment. Years of personal challenge, and you've had some of those recently. I was looking here, 42, which is one of the ascent to pinnacle years, 50, 56, 58, 62, 65, which is where you're at now. It's like you're having some personal challenge. The next one, age 68, 69, 72, and then several more, you know, past that. Your ascent to your pinnacle years. Now, there's two of them. There's age when you're age 15, so think back to where you were doing that, and age 60. The actual pinnacle years, it's a three-year time gap, so it's like there was year 18, and when you were 63, there was things happened there. Your most blessed years were at age 20, so whatever happened there, and this year, age 65. So this is a most, you know, you get two of those this lifetime. So your most blessed years is 65, so it's like, wow. Years of wish fulfillment. Now, they've actually got that at age 45, 50. I mean, you know, it starts at zero. But 45, 57. And the next one is 81, 82, and 90. So you're kind of spread out in there.
I'm planning on being there. Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
And then you've got years of recognition, fame, and business success. And those come at ages like 56, 58. The next big one is age 71. So whatever work you're going to be doing in between there, from 58 to 71, it's like you're having the blessings, and it's like it's gonna catapult you forward to, you know, other things. But you got 71, 74, 75, 77. You know, there's a whole bunch of them in your 70s. So, all giving you, you know, recognition, fame, business success. So, you know, literally, some of your best years are ahead of you. Okay, and years with good money cards. Now,
hang on.
So, yeah, the next one coming up, a year with good money cards, is age 66. So it's like, so this is like, you know, the prep year. It's like, this is going to be a really good blessing year. And then this is, you know, age 66 is like, you know, really good money cards. And then the next one is age 70. So it's like, whatever you're, you know, sowing the fields with this year, it's like you're going to reap rewards with coming up next year too.
Cool.
And where you're at, you actually started this year. This year is that there's it's called the life path and the 13-year cycles. Where you're at is actually in the Uranian cycle, and that goes from age 65 to 77. And it's the 10 of hearts that actually rules that. So that's, you know, because you have each of those, you've been through Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn already. So you've got Uranian time and the Neptune time here. And it does, they just have some notes here. It's like that Four of Clubs is one of the more fortunate life paths. Most of the life spread cards are even numbers. Your birth card sits in the blessed column, which is the Jupiter column, and the cards in the Jupiter period sit all on the Jupiter line. So you get off to a good start in life and have a lot more to be grateful for than the average person. Notes there, it's like from ages 7 to 20, your life has a lot of changes, and it's those years between ages 7 to 20 that contribute to the restless side of the adult Four Clubs personality. At ages 26 and 27, you get kind of a taste of recognition, and that period usually directs them into a field where you can make a good living and enjoy continued successes. And then if you're living long enough, which you are, you can enjoy a similar period at ages 77 to 79. So it's coming up.
Cool, love that.
I know. You have fewer of the combinations of truly challenging cards than most of the other cards, but the year you need to take extra care at is ages 30, 36, 41, 55, 74, 75, and 82. So those are the years that they really say, those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, just seven years during your lifetime there. That's just kind of, have a heads up and be careful moment. Mm. Ah, golly, we haven't even got to the rest of this yet. I haven't even got all the rest of your cards done for the year yet. Let's see, and how are we doing for time? Okay, we got 14 minutes, so it's like, let's see if I can motor mouth my way through here. In your Mercury time frame, which I gave you earlier there, this year was the Jack of Diamonds and the Two of Diamonds. So again, that's that focus on money and cash and values and all that. I got my frogs going off. Lovely. Here, just a minute. There we go. Shut them off. Yes, I like the pond sound. It's the one thing that doesn't drive me crazy. Venus, you've got that Four of Diamonds and the Jack of Hearts. So there's a lot of creativity coming in that came in that Venus time. And I always say that the times that are already passed, it's kind of like doing a watercolor picture. It's like, you have those to a lesser degree for the whole year. It's just that the cards in the particular time frame that they're in, it's like have the strongest influence, but the rest of the cards, they will influence your whole year. So when things of similarness come up, it's like, it's like, think of a watercolor wash, how you take the water and you do it over the whole page, and then you kind of, put different stuff and it kind of, fades out and spreads out, that kind of stuff. Okay. You do have, so there's Four Diamonds and Jack of Hearts and Venus. In the Mars time frame here, you've got those two restless cards. You've got that Five of Spades, which is the card of the Wanderer, and then you've got the Seven of Spades. So there's two spades, which is sometimes it can be kind of watch out for your health. It's like it can be, you've got that inner restlessness, and it's about having faith, but it's also about, don't overdo yourself. Make sure you're getting your rest, your exercise. Make sure you're staying in balance, because you'll be less likely to have health issues come up, especially in Mars. Mars deals with, men, with aggressive things, with, really kind of, sometimes overdoing things. It's like sometimes people go out and exercise themselves into the ground. It's like, don't do that. Be careful when you're driving. Your Jupiter time. What's that?
Trying to be healthy.
Yeah. Oh, good. All righty. Your Jupiter time frame, you've got two threes, which is, a lot of creativity going on there. You've got a Three of Hearts and a Three of Diamonds. So that could be a time frame when you might be, either meeting new people, dating new people, something or other. You might have something in the heart there where it's going to be three or more, or two or more at least, important people in your life. You're going to have some new connections. That Three of Diamonds. Again, creativity with finances. So it's like, that was cute. They showed me a little card table with, like you and three people sitting around, and, you guys are sitting around brainstorming. It's like, oh, we could do this, so you might find yourself in a business venture together with, some of your card playing buddies, so to speak. I don't know.
Yeah.
Saturn. Saturn, you've got the Eight of Spades and the Jack of Spades. And again, those are hardworking, but the eight cards are the power cards. So this is those cards where it's like, be careful what you wish for, because you are highly likely to get it. And if you abuse that power, it will come back around and nail you like a boomerang does. So just really, really be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
And again, that Jack, there's a lot of creativity there. And because it's the highest Jack in the suit, there might be some, spiritual initiation, some, new you know, like type of metaphysical thoughts, or you might have a spiritual breakthrough, you know, something like that. So, but again, it's in Saturn. So sometimes the things that come through Saturn can be karmic. It can be things, you know, getting tied up. But because you've got really two really strong, positive, powerful cards there, your Saturn time frame, which is, you know, the hardest time of the year, is not going to be nearly as bad for you this year as it might otherwise be. It's like, you know, if you had like odd number cards, because I've seen people with those and they really go through the ringer. So be blessed that you're having those two. Let's see. The Uranian time frame comes after that. There's the Queen of Spades and the Seven of Clubs. So you've got the Queen talks about, again, that self-mastery. You know, you tend to mother everybody, but it's really mastering yourself on all levels. So, and it's nice that it's under the Uranian time frame, because they talk about Uranus as kind of being a breath of fresh air after this heavy oppressiveness, you know, feeling of Saturn. So things happen unexpectedly. And I remember Ron was talking about, because I always refer to it, you know, the little wavy lines is like the double lightning bolts. And I don't remember all of it, but he says, you know, well, it's not lightning bolts. It's kind of like the waves. It's the frequencies. And it's like how we operate on the frequencies, how we resonate with things. So it can be unexpected. You know, Uranus really is always a surprise, and because it's really philanthropic and philosophical, it's like it's the brotherhood. You know, it's like the whole entire brotherhood of humanity. It's like you never know where it's going to lead you. It leads you to unexpected places and in ways you never expected.
I always like to say, when those particular things happen, that when divine self takes over is when those points in life that come and say, wow, didn't see that coming.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of like that blindsided moment. It's like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Or
yeah,
especially that way.
Exactly. Yeah.
Precisely. Okay, and then there's Neptune, and he talked about it. I love that. It's like Ron was talking about Neptune today. Neptune is also known as kind of the planet of illusion, kind of dreaminess. You know, it's like the biggest kick I get out of this is you want to make sure you're not wearing your rose-colored glasses too much in Neptune, because when you take them off, you might discover that you were having a nightmare instead of a daydream. Okay, so just be aware on that one.
When is this coming?
Let's see, Neptune time, Neptune doesn't show up, that's the last 52 days, so that's like August 27th until your birthday, it's the last time frame of the year. So you got a ways. That's coming up in the fall. So yeah, but you've got this Two of Clubs there, which again it's called the communication card, or it's also called the argumentative card. So again, the way fours love to debate, you know, four of clubs, you know, loves to debate. The Two of Clubs really loves to debate. They were probably the ones that came out as the gold medal, you know, winners on the high school debate team. Okay, it's like it's called, you know, not called the card of argument for no reason. So I will say, just be really, really careful with your words doing Neptune and how you use them, because you can also accrue karma. You know, of course, you can do that during any of these time frames, but just be aware of what you say, how you say it, and who you say it to, okay? So don't make no promises you can't keep, those kind of things.
That sounds like a plan.
Indeedy. And then the other thing I'm going to say is, you know, this is your snapshot for the year, and you know you have awesome cards. And the other thing is you know, we can always, but we always have, you know, no matter what we do, we always have free will. So it's like anything that you know that you hear can always be changed, can always, you know, you can always change it for bad or good. So what I am going to say is, please don't shoot yourself in the foot this year, because you really got a lot of cool things going. Let's see. And what happened there? Oh, you know what? Oh, heavens to Betsy. No wonder we haven't heard from Bonnie. It's like she must have dropped,
yes,
and it's like,
I
wow. Sorry about that, Bonnie.
Oh,
I wasn't even
watching
the floor
there.
I
am telling you, I was going to scream. I wanted to jump in. You know that, sister. I wanted to jump in all about the money, the diamonds. And you know what the thing is? You had a lot of seven cards or five cards.
Sorry, Bonnie. I was sitting there totally on another plane. It's like I wasn't even looking at the screening and you're tracking. I was like, well, wait a minute, Bonnie's supposed to be. I was like, oh no, she messed it up. I was like, here we go. So now's your chance. Here you go, jump in.
OMG, girlfriend, I'm gonna tell you what a great year you're gonna have, and I'm there with you. But I gotta tell you, you had a lot of fives. You're a five, and I'm a seven in life number. It is just amazing how many that showed up. That she said, and this, I just can't even, now I can't go back because I was muted, but I would have screamed it out. But I am telling you, it's just so right on the money, Kelly. It's amazing. And I am just so happy and thankful that we have you and that, you know, Susan got a chance to hear. And I think it was a really complete reading. And I'm just really excited for you.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, I'm just.
For me, this is still the thumbnail sketch because there's so much more to be said. There really is. The thing of it is, we have like 4 minutes. This is one of those. It's like, okay.
I know, and I really want to tell you, unless you're going to wrap it up, and I'm going to say real quick, and then I'm going to wrap it up. We have two fabulous guests tomorrow. Tomorrow we have Glenn Cakely. He's a fabulous healer. He's a wonderful Reiki master, and he's written a book, and he has 7 steps to the wonderful you, and I can't wait for him to be on. And we also have Jamie Price. He's a famous spirit medium. He does psychometry. He's got all kinds of really cool gifts, and they are both taking callers. So everybody listening, we take Thursday's show. We feature other metaphysical realms, and I am going to tell you tomorrow's show is going to knock your socks off. I can't wait. So, all right, Kelly.
Me neither.
Go ahead and finish because you only have a few minutes.
Unless Susan's got some, you know, some specific questions we can go, you know, that we can go back over or something and, you know, got questions of that. It's like, and come on, Bonnie, I know you always have messages for people. You do. You always have people show up who are tapping you on the shoulder or tapping their foot or just waiting to get a word in edgewise. So it's like, I was going, oh, I'm sorry. I did. I expected you to jump in much sooner. I was like, okay. Well, no wonder. What else do you want to ask for Susan today?
Let me tell you, Kelly girl, I was muted since you started. When you got on with Susan, after I had said the one line, it dropped because I must have been in a zone here that dropped it, and I have been muted ever since. So all of the spirit and wonderful things that come to me, first of all, I'm driving, so I ask them to step back because that's one thing I just cannot do. If I'm driving, I'm paying attention, I'm trying to drive the road. I've already gone over the line 3 times. So I'm going to say something, that I'm lucky I'm still driving and that I haven't been hit on the road. So unfortunately, or fortunately, Susan knows me. She knows who comes through, and you know who comes through for you too. I can see them in the background, but I've asked them not to come because if they touch me, if they hug me, if they give me messages, I'm afraid I'm going to hit the car in front of me.
Oh, yeah. No, not while you're driving, sweetie.
Not while you're driving.
I know. I have had that happen. I had a spirit come, one of my daughter's boyfriends who died, and he choked me in the car. My foot was on the gas pedal, and I'm just lucky I still survived. So I always ask them to step back while I'm driving. I do see all your family, though. And I love spirit, and I love them to come. We have 1 minute left, Kelly, so we're going to wrap this show up. I love everybody. I love my people.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly, so much. Thank you. It was fabulous.
Cool. Thank you. It's nice to know. It's nice to have the feedback because, you know, I mean, a lot of these, it's like you know, I've never met you, so I don't really know. It's like, you know, some of the folks that were, you know, talking, it's like, oh, yeah, we know this about Susan. I'm like going, I haven't got a clue, man. It's like, this is, but it has, that's why I love these cards because it helps me to get insight on people. And it's like, I kind of wish everybody could go around with a little, you know, 90 seconds, with a little name tag that just, you know, said, hi, I'm so-and-so, and here's my birth card. Go, oh, okay, I know which card in the deck you are.
Well, you know what? After today's show, I think, what is my birth card? I'm going to tape it on my forehead. Maybe it'll start a trend. And then everywhere we go, we will be able to see what everybody is. What am I?
It's like Bonnie, you're an ace of diamonds, and I believe you. I think you're double aces. I think you'd have a really good poker hand because you are the you're the ace of diamonds and the ace of hearts. So you got a pair of aces.
Oh, honey, I am a pair of aces, and I can't wait for my reading, Kelly. So I'm gonna come on your show on Sunday, and we're gonna read all about my aces because I'm a double shot.
good luck
Sounds
with
awesome.
That. Good luck with that, Kelly.
Well, call in and listen in, Susan. we'll dig up all the dirt on Bonnie.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait. You know my life is an open book. It's an open everything talking about books. So you know what? One day I'm going to write my own book. I'm going to channel it through myself, and I'm going to give you all credit for it. So see, I share. You know?
And we got 10 seconds. We got 10 seconds. We're doing the NASA countdown.
Okay. I love you. Thank you very much. We love our chatters. We love our callers and our listeners. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to drive down 95, Kelly. This helps me get
You're
there
welcome.
Earlier. And I love you. Have a great evening. Have a great day. And we'll catch you here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We've got all kinds of great staff guests for you. And please all join us because you're going to love it. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.